if we want to overcome the darkness in our lives, the darkness that creeps in, the things that we struggle with, the things that are hard for us, we have to be willing to do something, to change something, to try something different.
And I'm convinced that the human spirit was not designed to simply maintain normal. Somewhere along the line, we forget that our job wasn't to maintain normal. Our job was to step into an unprecedented future where God continually presses us into what's next.
God will never ask you to respond to a call that doesn't already speak to the best part of you, the part of you that was designed for greatness, that deep down knows that there is something more.
Hey, and welcome to the Mosaic Pomona podcast. I hope that you enjoy this week's talk and want to invite you to join us live on Sundays at 10 a.m. at the Glasshouse Concert Hall in beautiful downtown Pomona. Or you can join the conversation at www.mosaicpomona.org. You can also download the Mosaic Pomona app on iTunes or Android and keep up with the conversation and community there. If you would like to financially support this podcast and the ongoing movement at Mosaic Pomona, visit us online at mosaicpomona.org/give or check out the giving option on the Mosaic app. Enjoy this week's talk. Father, I thank you so much for how good you are, for your generosity to us. I thank you that we are left with nothing without you, and that you come so brilliantly with your light and your love and everything that comes with that, that we are never without, that we are never without hope, we are never without love, we are never without faith, God, we are never without your service, God. We're thankful for your nearness, God. Would you come and speak to us today as we step into your word and taking a look at what it means to be a follower of you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to wrap up a conversation today that we've been in for most of the fall called Disciple, taking a look at what it means to actually be a student, apprentice, a learner of Jesus. Every single one of us have been a disciple or are a disciple of something at some point in our lives, whether it was at school, a hobby, a sport, an instrument that you play. We, at some point in time, were an apprentice, a student, a learner, and we've been in that space. The problem I find that most of us want to be the leader before we're the follower. You know what I'm talking about? We would rather be the person who has other people follow us than be the one who follows. But if we're actually going to have something worth following, you must first step into a place of fellowship, of discipleship, of being an apprentice, a learner, a disciple of something much bigger than you. And whatever you choose to become your master, the person that you are a disciple of, whether it's a person or a thing, it is what masters your life. It is what determines the limits of your freedom. It's what determines the boundaries of your existence. It determines the expansion of your joy and happiness in life. And what I love is that Jesus comes, God in flesh, and he says, come follow me, come be a disciple of me, come learn from me, come be my apprentice. And in that process, his desire is not to lord over us. His desire is not to rule over us like a dictator, but he says, I want you to come to me and I'm going to set you free to go make other disciples. See, it's this crazy process where we become a disciple of a God who is all about freedom, and he sets us free to then go find others who are in need of that exact same freedom and say, hey, I have found a master who will set you free because he set me free. And that's what he calls us into. And we talked about some of the characteristics of people who are disciples of Jesus. And those characteristics are that they love the truth. There's this infatuation with the truth because there's this knowledge that the truth will set you free. We talked last week about how followers of Jesus are filled with compassion, that followers of Jesus take responsibility, that followers of Jesus are insane champions of hope and love, and that they give themselves fully, generously everywhere they go, and they step into that space. And today we're going to talk about a final characteristic that I think is so critical to those who call themselves followers of Jesus. When we were in Kiev just last week, we were walking down through the town square, which I've been through many times. In the middle of the square, there's a place where a revolution took place just a few years ago. And it was the common people against the government attempting to obtain their freedom from Russia and join the European Union. And in this protest, the government came out in frustration and rage against the people, and they actually brought snipers out on the roof, and in this crowd of millions of people, shot dead 100 people. And so to this day, there has been makeshift memorials that have been there day after day, people that have kept them up and kept them alive and well. And as we were coming into the city streets, we turned a corner and there was this giant sign on a building. And the sign said this, it says, "Freedom is our religion." There's the sign right there. With giant chains breaking, you can see the colors of the nation there. And when I read that at first, I thought, maybe that's a little heretical. Like, do I actually believe that, right? But there was something about that statement that resonated with me, that freedom is our religion. If religion is simply a set of beliefs that guide and govern our lives, then freedom is certainly a huge part of that. Because I believe that part of our responsibility as disciples of Jesus is to liberate humanity. Is to liberate the soul of humanity from the brokenness and darkness and destruction and addictions that live within us. Because I believe that was the mission of Jesus. When you look at Jesus, everywhere that he went, every place that he stepped into, he brought liberation. He brought freedom. He set people free from sickness, from death, from oppression, from hopelessness, from despair, from a future that they knew was going to be filled with hopelessness. And this is what Jesus steps into. And our willingness to accept and recognize that freedom determines the freedom that we actually live in. I'll say that again. Our willingness to realize and to actually accept that freedom and respond to it determines the freedom that we actually get to live in. Because when we recognize that we have awareness of what it actually cost us to be free, there's an awareness and a recognition of what it cost us to live in a space of liberation and freedom. And what I love is that disciples of Jesus live in awe of the price that it costs to step into the freedom that we live in. There is this awesomeness to the awareness and the recognition of what it actually cost for us to step into that spiritual freedom. And it's the fuel that moves our life forward. That awareness and recognition that we have been pulled out of hopelessness and darkness and despair and entrapment and stepped into this place of hope and light and love that fuels our journey. And Jesus has made that point very, very clear to us. I want to turn to a parable that he shared with us in Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 23. So if you have a copy of the scriptures or an app, you can open that up. If you need a copy of the scriptures, we'd love to give you one, so you can just raise your hand and one of our team members will give that to you. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 23. Matthew 18, 23. And Jesus starts the conversation like this. He says, "Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him." I want to know what this guy did with 10,000 bags of gold that he owed him. But he was brought to him. "And since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. And his fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay off the debt. And when the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. And then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged to me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how the Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brothers and sisters in your heart." Pretty harsh conversation, right? Pretty intense moment here with Jesus that he gives us. But see, Jesus here is actually attempting to show us the generosity of God's service towards us. The generosity of God's love and his redemption and freedom that he gives to us on a regular basis. Because see, it starts with this man who owes 10,000 bags of gold and he is completely helpless to pay it back. Now, I won't ask you how many of you find yourself in that financial situation as well, right, with your credit cards, but that is the worst place to be. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I have certainly been there, where you just have so much financial debt that you have no way to pay it back. I remember when I was 18 years old, a friend called me, and he said, hey, you have to get down to Guitar Center right now because they're giving away equipment. I was like, that's awesome. Let's go down to Guitar Center. So we go down to Guitar Center and he said, yeah, they're giving away equipment. Basically, you just sign up for this thing and they'll give you whatever you want up to like $1,500 and you don't have to pay for it for a whole year. So I signed up for my first credit card, not knowing what I was doing in that moment. I didn't get the credit card till afterwards in the mail, but I bought about $100 worth of stuff. It wasn't actually all that much. I just thought, hey, if there's no financing for 12 months, that's awesome. I'm just gonna take all this. I'll pay it off eventually. What I didn't know in my 18-year-old brain that you actually had to make the monthly payments, right? That it was 0% financing, but you still had to make the monthly payments. And I remember 6 months into this deal, I get a call from someone. And they say, is Mr. Nathan Neighbor there? I said, yes, this is him. And they proceed to start yelling at me about my credit card that I had not paid. And I was so confused. I remember rationally speaking, no, I'm sorry, I think you got it confused. Guitar Center said I don't have to pay anything for a year. It's like free money. And she said, no, you have to pay every single month and you're behind 6 months. It's gonna go on your credit score. It's gonna follow you to the grave. I mean, she was freaking me out. And the more I was confused, the more angry she became with me. This was my first introduction to credit sharks. And I was so confused as to what was taking place here in this moment as she was yelling at me and me not knowing what took place. And I remember in that moment realizing I have done a very, very bad thing. I don't know the full depths of what this is going to do, but I realized I had done a bad thing. And I realized that in my 18-year-old self right there, that $100 had then turned into $475. And I was completely unable to pay that $475. I found myself in a mess, having to go begging my parents to bail me out of this situation. You may have found yourself there in a physical sense with your finances, but I know that I've also found myself there spiritually, where I've actually bought myself something that I could not actually afford. I've actually stepped into places, in relationships, into addictions, into thoughts, into ways of living, into lies that found myself in my head that I was completely unable to find myself out of. And in fact, the scriptures say that that's how we're born into this world, that we're actually born with a debt that we are completely unable to pay. And we find ourselves here in this place struggling. How do we get out of this place? How do we actually get out of there? Because we are hopeless in our current spiritual situation without any ability to get out of it. All of the internal realities, the anxiety, the depression, the addiction, the despair, the hopelessness, the brokenness, the darkness that lives inside of us. And what I love is that when the king hears about his servant's condition that he cannot pay, as he gets down on his knees and begs him and pleads with him, his first response is compassion and pity. And of course, this king represents Jesus for us. And his first response, when his servant comes to him and says, I cannot pay back this debt. There is no way that I'm going to be able to live up to these expectations that you have upon me, that I've put myself into. His first response is, it's okay. That it wasn't anger or vengeance. He wasn't frustrated or wanting to get back in retribution. In fact, he was unreasonable in his response. He was unreasonable in his response, because a reasonable response would have been this. All right, well, let's put you on a payment plan, you know, and let's go for like maybe half a bag of gold every 5 months. Can we do that, right? That would have been a reasonable response, but he doesn't put him on a payment plan. He doesn't say, let's try to pay this off over time. That would have been reasonable, but he goes unreasonable with this, right? He could have said, well, let's just take a look about how much you're making right now, and maybe we can adjust the debt to your income ratio. You know, we'll figure this out here. We can consolidate some things. He doesn't do that. That would have been reasonable. He goes unreasonable with this. And what I love is that Jesus' response to our hopelessness, to our bondage in life, to our debt that we owe, is unreasonable. That he doesn't say, hey, I'm going to have you pay this off over time with enough good works and enough good things. He doesn't say, I'm going to lower this so that it's, you're capable of doing enough things to work your way out of this situation. What he simply says is, I see the situation that you find yourself, and it is finished. That's what he says. It's finished. He says that over your debt. And the crazy thing is that it actually cost the king something. See, the king was now out 10,000 bags of gold that he was expecting at some point in time. He cost the king. And in the same way, when Jesus clears us of our debt, it costs us something. It costs him his life on the cross. And it costs him the humiliation and the torture and the degradation of humanity as he stepped in to pay the debt off from us. That our redemption actually cost heaven everything. And this is how God treats us. And we see where the story goes, that he fails to do the same thing for those around him. He has a huge debt paid off, and then he immediately goes and refuses to do the exact same thing that was done for him in this moment. And it causes the king to come back and revoke his generosity from him, because this man's actions are a much greater symptom of something that lives inside of us, because he failed to recognize the gravity of the freedom that he had been given. He failed to recognize the depths at which he had been set free and released from the brokenness and redemption in that moment, and the depths of the beauty and hope that he had been brought into. Because had he paused for a moment and recognized, wow, I have just been given the biggest gift that I could ever imagine, and I have been brought into this space of hope and redemption. Had he paused for a moment and actually been able to recognize that, his response would have probably been a lot different on the other side. But instead, he finds himself in entitlement. And I find that oftentimes when Jesus releases us from a debt, rather than coming to him with gratitude and saying, how can I give back to others? How can I serve the world around us? Oftentimes where we find ourselves is in entitlement. Well, you know, we got that done with, so now let's talk about what I really deserve. What I really deserve is your money and a big house and a nice car, and while you're at it, could you fix all these other problems in my life? See, it shows up in those conversations of I deserve or I should have or you owe me. I can't tell you how many times even I, in my language, come to God with you owe me, as if he owed me anything. After paying off the debt that he finds himself. And he cuts himself off from giving what had been given to him in that moment. And this recognition of how much we have been given and set free creates something far more beautiful than we could ever know. Because how we respond to when we realize that we have a God that has served us beyond anything that we could ever repay determines everything for our future. How we respond to a God who is exponentially more service-oriented than we are, and how we respond and recognize that determines the direction of your future. Because when you've experienced something significant in your life, that there's a longing to share about it, isn't there? There's a longing to bring others into that exact same experience. Whether it's something as small as a movie that you saw, right? And you instantly like get on and you start tweeting and Facebooking and like, everyone, you have to go see this new movie that just came out, The Smurfs 2, it's amazing, right? Whether it's that or like a meal that you just had, man, I just had this amazing steak, and you're like Instagramming it and filter and all that stuff. You know, you're like, wow, this is incredible. I remember after Marla had Jackson, we had Jackson in this beautiful experience, and I was like, everyone needs a kid. This is the most amazing thing. I was like the evangelist for childbirth. I'm like, we got to do this, everyone. It's amazing. You have to experience it at least once. It'll change your life. And when you go through something so transformative, there is something inside of you that longs to bring others into it. See, when we look at the story of this master in his response to the king and his response to the person below him, we think, how crazy can he be? How crazy could this man be? But you know, as I read this story, I found that it hit closer to home than I actually wanted to realize. That it actually connected to my life and to our lives, I think, more than we ever want to admit or connect to. See, because as disciples of Jesus, we are actually compelled to serve out of the great service that God has already done for us. We are compelled to serve the world out of a recognition of the great service that God has already given us. See, that's different from coercion. That's why God is not into coercion. He's not into coercing someone into service. He's not into manipulating your life, to strong-arming you into ways. So it's like, okay, God, I'll give a little. I'll serve a little. I'll give my life away to the world. But it's so different because when we are compelled to serve out of what he has done for us, everything shifts. There is a gratitude that wells up in us that fuels us to serve. I can't tell you how many times this first year of parenting, I have paused and gone, wow, I have been a jerk to my parents. Because I recognize that this is a difficult job. The nights where I'm like, just shut up, stop crying, right? And I'm up for hours after, or really Marla's up hour after hour, and there's just nothing to do, right? Or when it comes time for birthdays or events, and you're like, let's shell out a bunch of money for more stuff, right? I thought, wow, I didn't even recognize the lengths and the depths and the heights and the widths to which my parents gave to me. And I can't tell you how much I've been compelled this year to be generous towards them, to serve them, to give back to them, because there is now a recognition of the depths at which they have served me in the middle of this. See, here's the reality of our lives and the situation that we find ourselves in is the place where our willingness as disciples of Jesus, the place where our willingness to serve the world ends, simply reveals where our entitlement starts. The place where our willingness to stop, the place where our unwillingness to serve begins, reveals the place where our entitlement and arrogance and idolatry starts. The place where we hit and go, you know what? I'd rather be comfortable than serve. This is enough. This is too much, or I don't have any more to give. That reveals where our level of entitlement starts and we find ourselves in, because the end of our service reveals the depths of our arrogance. And we find ourselves excusing it away, like, well, you know, I don't really have time, or I don't really have a lot of energy for that, or, you know, I'd rather be doing this, or my favorite, spiritualizing it, that's not really my calling, right? I don't feel really called to serve my brother over there for right now. But our willingness and capacity to serve becomes the litmus test for our recognition and gratitude for the God who has served us so generously. Our willingness to serve to whatever length is the litmus test that determines how we are connected to our God. Now, you might be sitting there thinking to yourself, like I was, Nathan, are you saying that our entire life, our entire existence that we live here is to be used as an act of service towards others? And I'll just tell you what I read in the scriptures and what I heard myself. The answer is absolutely yes. And the second that you come to that conclusion and die to it, you will actually find your freedom. That the second that you actually step into that reality, that your entire existence was meant to be an act of service to the world around you, the sooner you just die to that reality and step into that, the quicker you will find your freedom in the middle of that. See, because your life was designed to be fueled by the love of God. And the love of God is always, always, always serving humanity. You can clap for that. There is never a moment where the love of God is not exponentially giving itself away for the betterment of others around us. See, if you are fueled by anything else than the love of God, by apathy or by greed or by bitterness or unforgiveness or comfort, if you are fueled by anything else, you will find your life stalled rather quickly, because you were designed to be the vehicle through which God serves the world around us. Now, strangely enough, and I will probably have one conversation after this, I might clear it up right now, but strangely enough, the moment we start talking about serving, all these excuses start popping up. In fact, even as I wrote this talk, I was like, I shouldn't say that because of this, 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 and this. But all these excuses start popping up. In fact, I don't find any other topic, probably besides financially giving, where more excuses come up than this topic with service, because we find ourselves in this conversation. Well, you know, we can't get too radical here. Let's have some balance here in the middle of this conversation around giving our life away, because it's really important to have balance when it comes to this reality. But you know what I find is that when we talk about the things that we love doing, no one ever has a conversation about balance, right? When you're planning your vacation, I find that no one's like, well, let's not get too carried away, right? I mean, let's not go on the 8-day cruise. Let's make sure just 3 days. We gotta balance it out, right? Let's not go on the 10 excursions. Let's just go on the 4 because we wouldn't wanna have too much fun, right? No one on their day off says, you know what? Let's make sure we balance our Netflix binging, right? We don't want to watch too many episodes today because that might be crazy, right? No one ever says that. No one ever says, I'm doing my hobby and I'm a little worried about how much time I have for this. I wish I had a little less time because I'm trying to balance my life out. No, because crazy enough, the things that we love doing, we have endless amount of time and energy for. There's never a conversation about needing to balance out the things that we love the most. But for some reason, when we start talking about serving the world, all these little caveats and boundaries start popping up about, wait a minute, let's not get too crazy here. Let's not make sure that we go too outside of this. But you know what I love about Jesus? He broke every caveat and boundary that we have in the way that he served the world. He broke every religious rule. He broke every cultural custom. He was incredibly out of bounds and incredibly off balance with his life when you look at them. Now, does this mean that he didn't take breaks and rest? Absolutely he did. But when you look at that, the rest and the breaks were the for purpose of getting back in the ring and serving. It wasn't like, I gotta balance my life out. It was like, no, I gotta take a break so that I can refuel to get back to what I'm up to over here. And that's what he gives his life to. See, he finds himself in there. Because I wonder, what if God had the same type of caveats and boundaries towards serving that we had? I mean, if you think, at what age, if Jesus had the same caveats and boundaries, at what age in your life would Jesus say, this person's unhealthy. I need to set up some boundaries. This person is not even worth serving. I'm not going to cast my pearls before swine over here. I mean, at what age? For me, it would have probably been about 5, right? But the crazy thing is that his service is reckless. His love is reckless. And he just keeps giving and giving and giving. And if the life of Jesus is supposed to be a picture of our service, and if we are supposed to be fueled by the service that he has given to us, then it extends far beyond our human capacity. That the second that you connect to Jesus and become aware and recognize the service that he's given to you, your life becomes a supernatural force of service. That you suddenly have energy where you didn't have it before. That you suddenly have fuel where you didn't have it before. That you suddenly have time where you didn't have it before. Because you are designed to step into this. Every breath was meant to be a gift to the world around you when you step into it. And it's the process of serving that God gifts us, and we find ourselves there. And I love this conversation that Paul has about this reality in Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 7. He has this conversation with us in Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 7. He says this, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at a proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." See, God has sown into the fabric of the universe this principle. That when we reap, that when we sow, when we give ourselves away, when we give ourselves away in service and in love and an act of doing good for the world around us, we will reap back a harvest from our sowing. And I love that it says God will not be mocked. In other words, like God will never, like you will, there will never ever be a moment where you sow and you don't reap and God will be mocked in that moment. Like, see, God, I told you that every single time that you sow your service into the world, you will reap back a pathway into this. See, if you want to actually live a beautiful life, the pathway is actually giving beauty to the world around you through Jesus. That is actually the pathway to live that. And you will never have what you want in life until you start giving it away. You will never have what you need in life until you start giving it away to other people, because this is just the principle by which the universe works. Now, we know this principle works in the spiritual, right? Or the natural, right? Farmer, he goes out. And when he looks over his land, I've never met a farmer who goes, "It's so crazy. Every June, corn just pops up. I don't know what happens. I don't know how it gets there. It just pops up, and we have a harvest." No, there's never, it's not chance, it's not gambling, it's not like maybe we'll have it, we'll see what happens, it kind of happens every time this year. No, he faithfully goes out and generously sows seeds into the ground, and guess what? Every single year, he reaps a harvest. There's no chance in it. There's no guesswork in it. It's not luck. It is because he has sown himself faithfully into the world around us. And in the same way, if we want to experience the fullness of this life, then the pathway to fullness is service. That we invest, when we sow our service into the world around us, everything transforms. When you start giving your life away, you will find life. It happens every single time. I love in Luke 6:38, it says, "Give, and it will be given to you." It says, "A good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you used, it will be measured to you." It says the amount that you give will be given to you. And if you want to experience the service of God at a deeper level in your life, start serving the world around you. And you will see something so beautiful. See, the problem is that we want corn without sowing. We just expect, "God, just give it to me. Just pour out into my life all the things that I need." We want him to give to us or do for us what we're unwilling to do for him. And we create this one-sided relationship that becomes incredibly dysfunctional in our spirituality. See, because God turns everything around in his economy. He says, if you want to be great, serve others. If you want to be great, become the servant of every single person in this room. He says, if you want to keep your life, give it away. If you value your life so much, then give it away to others. If you want to receive, then give everything that you have away to others. See, his economy flips everything around on the other side. Because if I only have a little joy, and if I give it away to others in service, you would assume that I'd be left with nothing, that I would be left joyless because I gave the little bit of joy that I have away. But in God's economy, as we serve, we are filled. In God's economy, as we give our lives away in service, we find ourselves exponentially filled. See, you don't need that joy, that hope, that freedom, that release, that future if you're not willing to give it away. Because your life will just become a storehouse, and that joy and that freedom and that release and that hope and that future will just sit there and rot in the storehouses of your life. Because there is no pathway for it to be given away to other people. It will just go bad. You will find yourself stale and stagnant and angry at God. And he's not interested in supporting that in you. He's interested in supporting something far bigger in your life. See, when you choose to be a conduit for God's service and recognize that you are his plan A for transforming the world around you, you will be filled with everything that you need. He will give you every tool that you need because that's his job. Our job is just to serve. His job is to supply everything we need. And true disciples understand this. And I love that in the middle of this, he says this great phrase that I hold on to. He says, "Do not grow weary in doing good." In other words, don't grow weary in serving the world around you. Don't find yourself in that space of weariness as you're stepping into this, because he knew that we as human beings in our own flesh would be inclined towards weariness. He knew that. It's why we put up so many boundaries and caveats and balances, because we know that if we step into that space in our own, we will find ourselves eventually weary in that space. See, because if you are going to live a life of servanthood, it will cause you to develop your resilience muscle. It will cause you to build your resilience muscles inside of you. Because I know this sounds crazy, but sometimes when you go out and serve the world, people don't always respond the way that they should. That's crazy, right? I can't tell you how many times over the years, and I have my own faults, so don't hear me saying that I am anything special, but I can tell you over the years of serving people and serving the world, there are times where I'm left complex, where Marla and I have served individuals with hours and hours of our time, and then only to be left with betrayal on the other side. There will be moments where you will serve and serve and serve, and that person will walk away and destroy their lives. There will be moments where you'll give time and energy away towards things that you love, and your heart will be broken because the world doesn't show up the way that you long for it to. But there are, in all of that, moments of beauty and light and hope that will change everything. And it's so easy in those moments when someone walks away, or when someone betrays, or where it's just so difficult to keep serving this individual or this family or these family members. It's in those moments where it's so easy to grow weary and say, I'm done. That God isn't who he says he is. That he's not gonna come through with the provision that he said he was gonna provide. But what I love is that he reminds us, don't grow weary in doing good. Because there's a difference between tired and weary. There's a difference between the two of those. Because I love being tired. In fact, it is an indication that we are serving well. I love, like, when we come, like, man, when we came home from Ukraine, we were tired, right? I mean, we were tired because we had spent 10 days pouring our lives out into others. And I can't tell you, getting into bed, my own bed for that first moment, yeah, the bed felt great. But there was this moment of going, oh, have you ever had one of those good tireds? Yeah. You know, like you're like, man, I've done something today. I've given my life away. And I'm tired, but I'm not weary. And I'm tired. See, I actually think that so many people in today's society have sleep problems because they're not actually giving themselves something to make themselves tired. Yeah. They're not actually giving themselves away to something that's going to actually give them, move them to a place that's worthy of sleep. See, it's when you give yourself away that you will find yourself tired, but in that, you don't have to grow weary. You don't have to find your space in that space. So don't grow weary. Don't grow bitter. Don't grow frustrated. Don't grow overly offended, because it says, in due time, you will receive your reward. I can't tell you how many times I have given up on someone, and years later, I think to myself, man, I gave up before my reward came. I gave up before my reward came because that reward was promised to me, but I grew weary and I gave up. And I can't tell you how many other people that we just chugged along with and it was like, don't grow weary, don't grow weary. And years later, it was like, there's the reward. Now their lives are transformed. Remember when that person was a mess and now they're married and they have a family and things are working out for them? Man, maybe remember when their career was totally screwed up and now they're a CEO over here? Man, remember when their spiritual life was crazy over here and now they're redeemed and whole and free? That's the reward. The reward is on the other side, seeing the world around you look dramatically different than when you started, because you gave your life away in the power of a God who has served you. That's what takes place. So if you want to be great, give your life away. This is the pathway to becoming the greatest disciple of Jesus that you could ever find yourself in. Let's pray together. Jesus, I thank you that you have served us, that you have given yourself so fully to us, that you have given yourself so freely to us, and that there is no way that we could ever outserve you, God. But God, we, in our meager attempts, we give ourselves over to you, Father. We choose service today. We choose to serve the world. We choose to get over our own caveats and our own excuses. And we choose to give our lives away in service as your disciples, Father. God, may this community be one that is known for its service to the world. God, and we know that that as we sow, we will reap, because that is how you have set up this universe, God. But teach us to not grow weary, God. In all of the hurts and all of the betrayal and all of the backlash and the way things didn't turn out or should have turned out, Father, teach us not to grow weary, but to keep pressing on towards the goal to win the prize, which is the world transformed around us, God. I pray that the world around us, that Pomona and Chino and Rancho Cucamonga and Fontana and Glendora and San Dimas would look exponentially more beautiful because of us and your intervention in our lives, God. Father, you are so good. And we give that goodness away. God, I pray for two people in this room. I pray for those who may have served and just feel so weary. Maybe they've allowed bitterness to creep in, or maybe they've just found themselves giving out of their own energy. Father, would you touch them today? Remind them of what you've done in their lives and call them back out into the waters of service, God. Call them back out into giving their lives away. And God, for those in the room who may just feel stuck, like my schedule's too busy or my life's too crazy, I don't know if I could serve, that God, you would undo the knots in their schedule and their thoughts and their timing so that they might know you at a deeper level and give their lives away, Father. God, may we find you faithful. We know you will not be mocked. And so we are so grateful for your love and for your freedom. And we will serve as you have served us. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's talk. Join us next week for a new conversation, or download the Mosaic Pomona app to continue interacting with the Mosaic Pomona community. Thanks and have a great week.